Jane, and I'm on the phone with some of the members of the Playing Fields.
I'm Steve. I'm a guitarist, and I do a bit of singing.
Hi, I'm Mike, and I'm the singer guitarist.
Is a five-piece band. How did everyone meet and form?
It's actually a four-piece. Our violinist parted company with us. She's gone to pursue her classical music interests.
Apart from that, myself and Mike are brothers, so we've been playing music together for a long, long time now. And the bass player, Jeff, we both grew up with in the suburbs of Enfield. And then just before we were going to go and record our album, we were having a drummer crisis, and we came across Ron, who just came over here from Israel, where he'd kind of reached the glass ceiling of the music industry in Israel. He got pretty famous over there in a band called Music by Chance, and the singer committed suicide, and it went a bit pear-shaped. So he ended up coming over here, and yeah, it's working out really well with him. We have trouble with drummers, but we have no trouble with Ron.
I know it's kind of a regular occurrence in music, but how is it to have siblings collaborating within a band? Do you find that it's easier to work creatively that way?
I mean, me and Steve have always worked well together. We've always got on well together. So it's been fantastic, really. It's been a motivator, if anything.
I think we can just we turn up to a rehearsal and Mike's written something and I've written something and they can just dovetail into each other and you realise that you've written a song without realising what you had. You thought you had some parts. There it is. You've got a whole track.
How do you think your sound has changed since you guys initially began in, when was it, 2004?
I don't know, really. It's gotten fuller. It's gotten a lot better. Since, obviously, when we started, we were a bit crap. But, I don't know. Obviously, having a drummer has helped a lot.
Right.
And we've probably gotten a bit heavier, if anything, since we've had a full-time drummer.
Mm-hmm.
We've generally got louder, yeah.
Because when we started, we had a lot of computer-generated beats and samples that were going on under the music.
Uh-huh.
I think we always felt that it wasn't organic enough, that it kind of felt computerized than it was. And just to actually become more organic as a band, and then a lot of the stuff we're working on now can just come from a rehearsal, because you can really sit there and everyone can play together and you can come up with things instead of somebody has to bring something and then you have to create this backdrop of beats and samples to it.
Right. Well, you said that your violinist recently departed the band. Are you thinking about replacing her or adding other instruments?
I think we're sort of happy as we are at the moment, really. It's more a matter of if a musician comes along that plays an instrument that we like, that we think could integrate into the band, then maybe that'll take us in a different direction. We just sort of take things as they come. We're not looking for anyone, but if someone did come along and they're on the same sort of wavelength, then yeah.
Myself and Jeff have got really deeply into effects units and what they could do, and we're looking into a lot of oscillators and stuff, which just sounds not like what anybody else is using at the moment. So I think we can create a lot of waves of noise which are not being explored at the moment through those, hopefully.
Okay, well, that's exciting. So right now your debut LP, Hello New World, is out. How would you describe the music that's on the album?
That's a big question. very atmospheric. Ranges from a kind of feedback frenzy of Protect the Humans to the really mellow, almost Americana of things like Sylvia Thompson and Girl in the Machine. And that's the stuff that's getting picked up on in some places. I mean, that stuff's all over 88 FM in Israel, which is weird because one of the, you know, the Girl and the Machine's nearly 7 minutes long, and it's a very slow track, and I'm surprised that that's big on the radio there, but you never know what people are going to like.
Well, I built my life around you, your deep blue eyes.
Is there an underlying concept with the album? Because when I was listening to it and kind of reading the lyrics, I got a sense of hopelessness for the future. Is that something you're trying to draw on?
It's in the back of our minds as a theme throughout, but I wouldn't say that each song is necessarily part of a larger creation. They are entities in their own right, I guess.
I think we all came from the same backdrop, which was like kind of the graveyard suburbs, and there's a universality about it, but at the same time it's about the people of the suburbs and their aspirations, but also not fitting in to that space. It's about dereliction and the eating away of the green spaces in the cities as well. Also to do with the name, the playing fields is where we all grew up. We used to go over to the playing fields and we'd go and sit up a tree there and get drunk up the tree, but that's not really there anymore, that playing field, because the football club was there and it got sold off to developers, and now there's just a load of faceless blocks that have been built in its place. So that's what we did with the artwork for the album as well. It's about like communities disintegrating.
Okay, well, you had mentioned earlier the track Protect the Humans, and I wanted to point it out because I particularly like that one. It references cartoon superheroes but has a darker undertone. And so I was just wondering how this song came about.
It actually started with just the bass line and drums, and it was just a really driving song. And I pretty much came up with the lyrics on the spot. They just sprang to mind, to be honest. There was no sitting down thinking I should write a song about this. It just sort of, it came in the heat of the moment, as it were.
Like it deals with a kind of helplessness, you know, the fact that even if you're Superman, even if you're Batman, or you're one of the superheroes that people go and watch on the big screen these days, you can still be helpless, because you're just one entity in this huge mass of people.
How do you think your music fits into or differentiates from existing music in the UK music scene?
I wouldn't say that we fit particularly well anywhere. I mean, anytime someone asks what sort of music is it you play, I still don't know how to answer the question, because we draw from a lot of different influences, and I think that comes out in what we do, which makes it difficult to categorise us, really.
You get a lot of positive responses from the US. I think over there people really get into the rockier tracks on the album. But over here at the moment, everyone still wants to be Pete Doherty, basically, and we play with a lot of bands where the singer's dressed up as Pete Doherty. He's even got the hat. And you know, there's nothing wrong with Pete Doherty or the Libertines or whatever he does, but everyone wants to sound the same, and they're just trying to be a generic.
Right.
I'd rather just do what comes naturally to us and what feels right.
Okay, well, are there any bands out in the UK right now that you think are interesting?
tend to go for American bands more.
I know you featured a band on Pirate Podcast recently called They Came From The Stars. I saw them. That's a friend of mine's band, Horton, and I really like them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We played with them recently. He's a good friend of mine. But I think we're going to see the national scene. We're going to see Bright Eyes over here. That feels a lot more soulful to me than a lot of people trying to copy each other.
Yeah.
There's some great stuff going off in Scotland, Mogwai have been going on for a long time. I think we all really like that. I think in the direction that we're going towards the second record, there'll be a lot more of that sort of post-rock sound to it as well. But in the mainstream of Britain now, I'd be much more into stuff that's been and gone but still holds its sway. Things like Joy Division and the Early New Order, parts of The Cure and The Smiths.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
I read in your bio that a version of Valley of Salt was featured on a BBC program, Hustle. Where else would you like to see your music featured?
A lot of people that come back to us say your music would be perfect for films.
Uh-huh.
It would be nice. I'd love to see some of our music featured on films, but preferably good films, and at this juncture, good indie films as well. Just kind of outsider stuff, of things that are... The American indie scene, I know, is picking up again in cinema, and I think what we do could fit some of that. But there's obviously a lot of mainstream drivel coming out.
Yeah, there is. If the playing field's music were an emotion, what would it be?
Melancholy yet hopeful. Oh, and a bit angry.
In the scope of the playing field's history, what has been your most memorable experience?
Recording the album actually was really good.
Mm-hmm.
We went up to a place near Norwich, and the guy that was recording it, Owen Turner, he's a guitarist from Magoo, and he was really, really nice guy, and it's really, really helpful. And just really enjoyed recording the album. It's out in the countryside, so it was beautiful out there as well. And the guy that was recording it was fantastic as well. So that was really nice. And just to have it once it was finished at the end, to have that end product,
the
album, it was fantastic as well.
It was good to get out of the city to do it. I think if we'd have, as we originally planned, recorded it in the city, you'd be stuck recording the album, you go home at the end of the day, and everything that you want to leave behind to concentrate on it is going to be there. The letters are going to be there, the phone calls are going to be there. So just go out somewhere where there's no reception, you're in the middle of nowhere, was absolutely great. The album launch gig as well, the sellout at the Buffalo Bar, that was really good because it was so thronging with people, and to see people queuing up outside who were never going to get in, fantastic.
Well, is recording out away from the city something you're going to do for your second album as well?
It looks unlikely, actually, because we now, our drummer is the part owner of Berwick Street Studios, where people like David Bowie, Depeche Mode, Chemical Brothers have done stuff. They've got an amazing console in there. We've actually started recording the guide tracks for the drums and the bass in there. We started last week recording the second album there.
Mm-hmm.
Sound is so good in there. And seeing as we can just go there and get on with it, we'd be big Muppets, not too really.
Well, outside of music, do you guys have any other hobbies that you like to do?
Between work and the music, I don't know. An awful lot of time for much else. We're both football fans. We enjoy watching and playing.
I write, and I'm just finishing off a book I've been writing. It's kind of a magic realist book about a imaginary Asian Spanish dictatorship where the dead rise up and there's talking donkeys and stuff. I'm putting out quite a bit of time, and that should be finished soon. I'm looking forward to having that done.
What would be the absolute best lineup for a playing field show?
How many bands can we have? Can we run All Tomorrow's Parties and book a whole festival? Definitely Red House Painters, Wilco, Mogwai, explosions in the sky, bright eyes for me and for Mike.
Probably some of the above already. Smog would be there, Radiohead, lots of bands.
So I know you just said you went to a concert, but what was the last really great concert you went to?
Yeah, it would be the last gig. Mark Kozalek was awesome. Mogwai, yeah.
At the Royal Albert Hall.
At the Royal Albert Hall. Really awesome.
Okay, and what are the ultimate goals for the playing fields? Where do you guys see yourself going in the next couple of years?
I think this second album could do really well, hopefully. The first one was more about putting the name out there and making people know who it was. So when the second coming happens, there'll be a real buzz about it, hopefully.
I don't think we really see ourselves as being stars. I don't think our type of music is poppy enough to become popular enough, but it'd be great if we could make music for a living, you know, just be able to not have to go to work.
Right.
At home and write music and concentrate on the gigs and recording and stuff. That would be ideal, be able to make a living out of doing it. Obviously, if we were to become super rich stars overnight, then, we'd take it, but, yeah.
Well, do you guys have a projected release date for your next album?
Probably April or May next year. From the first one, we've realised that February and March are not a great time of year to bring out an album. It's kind of the doldrums of the year. It should be ready by then. As I say, the recording started last week, and we're really positive about the stuff that we've got for the second one. We just got back like the live studio demos of the 6 tracks that we've started work on.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the first one, but I think in a commercial sense that the second one will be more coherent as a record.
Well, I always ask my artists the same 3 questions at the end of my interviews, and so here they are. Do you guys have any slang terms or phrases that you overuse?
Well, the lady from the record label decided to call us Urban Desert and decided that we were a horny genre because we don't sound like anything else that's out here.
Uh-huh.
We are Urban Desert.
Make of that what you will.
It's an interesting oxymoron. You're kind of, part of a huge city, but you're also... The city's a bit of a desert because there's so much to it. You can never... I mean, I've lived in London most of my life, and you'll never really know the whole city. There are parts of it that are a mystery to me because there were 20 million people here at any given time and the size of the place. So even though you're part of this huge crowd, you're still... You're always a bit alienated and on your own within it. So I can give you proper Cockney slang if you like as well.
Well, sure.
I grew up with a lot of apples and pears, Cockney geezer, governor sort of stuff.
Well, what is each of your drink of choice?
At the moment it's red wine. Last night it was lager. The night before it was white wine. I think at the moment I'll probably go with a good white wine.
Yeah.
A Bouvray or something along those lines.
I'm on a drive of quality red and some Spanish or Portuguese, preferably Merlot. Very good stuff.
Yeah.
Apart from that, old whiskey, at least 12-year-old, oak barrel, like a Chivas Regal. Good stuff.
And we can actually answer for the other 2 that aren't here. Yes.
Okay.
Vodka. Jeff is a big vodka man. And at the moment, Ron has just discovered cider. It's like drinking fruit juice, so he's on the cider all the time at the moment.
Apparently they don't have it in Israel, and it was a whole new twist of life for him.
Yeah.
Oh, how exciting for him.
Oh my God. I'm missing.
Okay, and how do you guys feel about eyeliner?
Not really an eyeliner person myself.
Yeah.
Don't want eyeliner? Wouldn't wear it.
All right. Well, do you guys have any final words for anyone listening or to your fans?
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy the music. Come visit our MySpace, www.myspace/playingfields. I guess our main website now. We've got loads of them. Yeah, hopefully we'll come out to America and see some people singing as well. That'd be great.
Yeah.